strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 15th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm good, despite feeds being down for a good chunk of the day due to the safety suite competition. A lot still happened in the house, and hooey, we will get into all of it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when the feeds go down for a long portion of time in the day, I'm like, whew, all right,
yeah,
a little bit of a break. Not the case today.
Mm-mm. No. It was so much jam-packed in the times that the feeds were back up because of everything that happened with the safety suite competition, and we had noms. So buckle in.
Buckle in. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 10 in the house, and a lot going on. We started the day with David. He was talking to the cameras, he was talking to Kevin, he was talking to a few different people. He kind of got the sense that he was in some trouble here, just based on what happened with the have-nots. So to explain that, we got a little more detail. I know we talked about yesterday that Memphis was a little harsh when he made David a have-not. There's a little bit more there, not specifically with Memphis, but I think what happened was each of the have-nots chose their own replacement as a have-not. So so Nicole chose Christmas, I think, and you had like Kevin chose Kaser, and then Ian was supposed to make a choice of like somebody, like choose somebody, but Nicole Franzel was like, Ian, you don't have to, I'll do it. You don't have to choose anybody. And that made Memphis upset. And Memphis, because Memphis, he's a guy, he wants to like, this is a business trip. He wants to make some good TV. He wants, there's no emotions in this game. He's like, get some blood on your hands. And so Memphis was like, all right, David's going to be a have not. I forget what he said in that situation. But something along the lines of like David's looking at Memphis is looking at David like, sort of like if you watch the challenge, like they treat new people on the challenge, earn your stripes, bro.
No, literally someone called him a rookie. I think it was maybe Cody. And I was like, that's challenge language. I've heard that before. Like, oh, it's a rookie. We're going to throw you into elimination. Got to earn your stripes, all that stuff. But this is really fascinating to me because we so often talk about like, do away with have nots. Like, you know, we're over them. Really doesn't impact the game unless you're talking about Jackson cheating and sneaking food into the shower. But this actually had some game ramifications, it seems, or at least in terms of Memphis's hatred for Ian.
Yeah. And so David feels in the morning, the following morning, that I might be in some trouble here considering how that went for me. And so he talks about that. He talks about sort of like the pressure that he feels as a black man, you know, who have not done well on this show in a long time. And how he really wants to make it to the jury. That hasn't happened in a really long time. And he really wants to make history and he wants to win this thing. And so he talks about that. He also talks about it with Kevin, and he bonds with him there. And he continues to talk some more about like things like where he thinks the power structure lies. He feels like it's Memphis, Janelle, Kaser, Christmas, and maybe more people, but the feed's cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we didn't really get to see any of that, but this was more of David's logic for why he wanted to come on the show in the first place, which was because of the lack of well, the zero Black winners, but also lack of Black male contestants on Big Brother. And so that was actually a bonding moment for him and Kevin that they had in the bathroom. And so that was nice to get a little bit more insight into David, especially because we had been speculating for so long, you know, what's going on in his head? Is he faking? How much is he faking? How much does he know? But unfortunately, when you started to get into the game structure, then they woke up the rest of the house guests and we missed all of that.
Tyler had a few different conversations. He talked with David about like, hopefully you don't go up, man. You should play in this thing. He talked to a few other people about whether or not they were playing. Tyler also, so they've been tweeting from the diary room. They've been allowed to send out some tweets. And Tyler talked about how he said, with this HOH, I'm suddenly pretty stoked that Memphis pulled me into an alliance last week. But in parentheses, he says, low key, last person I wanted at the time. However, not happy about Memphis making David a have-not. That's my guy. We're about at safety this week. Time to work. So obviously telling you a couple of things that David is his guy, and he's going to work very hard to protect him, which we will see all day long. And then also that before Tyler was pulled into this alliance, Memphis was like the last guy he wanted to work with. Tyler was already not liking Memphis, and then Memphis was a jerk to David, and now Memphis is like running around. He's not telling any of the alliance what he's doing, what he's planning. And he is also trying to like trick people into playing in the safety competition to give himself better odds in the next one. And that's pissing Tyler off. And so he's going, he's running around like, are you playing? He's trying to get everyone to play. It's pissing me off. Like, I'm so annoyed.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis is definitely not doing himself any favors. This is, call it whatever you want, HOH-itis. You know, he's wearing the robe around, which is never a good sign. And Tyler is someone who is very keenly aware of all of this. You know, he was before and he is now. And I think that Memphis's actions are not helping him at all, especially when it comes to his relationship with Tyler.
Mm-hmm. We also had a few other conversations. It was a funny conversation. Again, pre-gaming remains very prevalent in the talk of what's going on. Later, we're going to hear more about Janelle's. Nicole talked to Cody again this season about how she lied to Derek about being on the season again after she did it to him in 18. And Cody's like, dude, just lose his number because it's gonna be pissed. She's like, I know.
It was so funny to have this conversation again. It was like, okay, Nicole, we get it.
So the feeds go down for the safety competition. They're down for a long time. I was tweeting this out. I feel like not only do they go down for the competition itself, but they go down for the hour that they have to choose whether or not they're going to play in the competition, which really bugs me because we missed a lot last week when this happened. And there's a ton of strategy that goes into who's going to swipe their card and when and all of that. And I don't see why they need to shut the feeds off for it.
I really don't get it either, because it's not like they're filming anything special or anything like that. I mean, it's just strategy talk, which is what we see on the feeds normally, especially because then it's up to us to play detective work when the feeds come back to say, okay, wait, was this a conversation that happened last night? Are they talking about a conversation that happened when the feeds were down? Because I think that there was a conversation between Christmas and Kacer maybe that we missed that could have been very interesting to see. Maybe Nicole and Christmas could have had another conversation. And so it's just frustrating to not be able to see that.
Yeah. But when the feeds come back up, Christmas has won the safety competition and she has decided to save Ian.
Baffling. I was baffled. So the feeds come back and I think it was in the storage room when we overhear what happened that Christmas ended up winning and chose to save Ian. Wait. I mean, ultimately we find that it's Franzel who is potentially responsible for this, for, you know, getting in Christmas's ear last night, maybe something before, we're not quite sure, but that seems to be the reason, because this really came out of left field.
Yeah, Franzel has been putting a lot of work in with Christmas. They're both have-nots now, and she's been weaseling her way in there. I mean, Say what you will about Franzel, she knows what she's doing in the game, and she definitely planted some seeds to make this happen. And the thing too is that right now I believe that Christmas fully believes that this was entirely her idea, and I don't want to give full credit to Franzel either. I think that this was partly Christmas's idea, but basically, like, again, we talked about this with Christmas before. Christmas is looking at the game like a checklist. Like, these are the checks that I'm close to. These are the ones that I'm not close to. These are the ones in the middle. And so I need to check off all the ones in the middle so that I have as many numbers as possible to fight against the enemy. And so she sees the enemy as Bailey, Devon, Janelle, Kacer, and Nicole, that they're all working together. And then she's got her side, you know, herself, Memphis, Tyler, Cody, Danny, Franzel, all those people. And then Ian and Kevin are like in the middle. And so she saw it as like, okay, if I save Ian, I'll win favor with him. And one of the middle people will come to us. And so, you know, Franzel is definitely the person that put that in her mind, that like Ian is a free agent that can be pulled to their side if they're good to him. But it was, you know, Christmas's idea to sort of save Ian, because of that. There might have been more that happened while the feeds were down, but that's, I think, the basics of it from what we have seen.
Yeah, Christmas has a very binary way of thinking, that it is this side, that side, middle, and then that's it. Whereas what we're actually seeing is more of these Venn diagram circles of different overlaps of different people. Yes, there are some people that are on the outs, but there's this kind of like big group of what, like 8-9 people that all have then these sort of smaller groups within them. And that seems to be more the power structure versus one side versus the other. But that's Christmas's read on the current situation.
Yes. So 7 people played in the safety competition. Christmas, Ian, Kevin, Devon, Bailey, Cody, and David all played in the competition, which leaves only Nicole, Anthony, Tyler, Danny, Franzel, Enzo, and Memphis that have not played. So 6 people are potentially going to be playing in the safety competition next week, with potentially a like minimum of 4 people if one of these people goes home and the other one's HOH.
Do we know? So, do they have to use it? Or can they let their party pass, suite pass expire, whatever it's called?
I'm pretty sure they do not have to use it, because a lot of them were talking about, like, ideally, we just never have to use it, never have to publicly save someone, because that's the risky part of it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And this, the whole, what group of people that's who's left, at least Memphis articulates that that's part of the reason why he nominated the people, or, you know, some of the people that he does, is because he's thinking like, let me get the people who can still compete for safety out of here. So in that way, you know, I have a better chance and my alliance has a better chance of winning the safety suite competition.
Mm-hmm. So Enzo now is going to talk with Memphis, and Memphis says basically like, I don't mind that Ian was saved, you know, but I've still got like a list of like 4 to 5 people that are in consideration for nomination. And really, like, the thing that bothers Memphis the most, according to Memphis, is the have not thing, that like why are people keep saving Ian? Like, they saved him from making getting blood in his hands, saving him from the thing. Like, I'm sure Memphis is getting flashbacks to Big Brother 14 when Ian's getting saved by Boogie, he's getting saved by Dan, and he's like, what do we do? As long as we recognize that, like, we can't keep doing this for this kid, then okay. But for now, Enzo brings up this possibility of like, what about a backdoor this week? And Memphis says again, and he said this earlier, the previous day, like, I'm not really interested in backdoor. The Ian was the only person I might have done a backdoor to, but if Ian's not in the mix, then definitely no backdoor, according to Memphis right now to Enzo.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, if I have to hear the phrase "he was saved twice in one day" from Memphis ever
it
again,
wasn't even one, like, it's a 24-hour period. It's not the same.
That's what he's counting. He's like, and let me define one day as 24 hours. But like, saved. I mean, okay, yes, the safety suite competition, he was literally saved. But for the slop thing, like, oh, come on. Like, someone volunteering, that happens a lot. I mean, yes, maybe. This really got under Memphis's skin, which, you know, Memphis had been looking at Ian, although maybe not, you know, 100% seriously this week. But this now has made Ian pop up really on Memphis's radar because, one, he was saved twice in one day. And then also because he's like, oh, Ian is the type of guy, he like, he's doing something behind the scenes. He's got other relationships. He probably has a relationship with Nicole F. He probably has a relationship with Christmas, you know, blink and he's at the end. So I think that that really puts a bigger target on Ian, at least for Memphis and maybe Enzo.
Mm-hmm. And so like, I really do personally get the sense that, like, I don't think Ian needed the safety. I think that he might have needed it. I think Ian was definitely in danger. But I also don't think it was like, definitely Ian was the target either. I think that it was still kind of up in the air. I'm glad that Ian is safe, so I don't have to worry about him. But it also did kind of put a little bit of an extra target on his back. So this could end up being a net negative thing for Ian, I think, overall, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely have to see how that plays out, because I think with Nicole F's influence and her relationship with Ian, you know, even if Ian was put up on the block, could he potentially be saved, especially with the way that Memphis is behaving, to be honest, and completely rubbing the house the wrong way. That wouldn't help his case if Memphis is like, oh, I would have wanted Ian to go. But we'll have to see.
Yes. Enzo, though, is super on board with, like, let's target Ian soon, because I ain't having no winners winning my season, yo. No, I ain't getting embarrassed like that.
Have they forgotten that Nicole Franzel won her season, or like they're just good with her?
So not threatened by her is the thing.
I ain't threatened by no rat.
No winners winning my season. No. Like, who are you, Frank?
But also technically a winner will win your season, because they are by definition a winner. So how about, let's say, two-time winner.
So Memphis is going to talk with Franzel. They talk about how, like, okay, so who's playing in the next safety competition? Oh, it's only the people who are basically cool with us and Nicole Anthony. Nicole Anthony is the only one that's not really with us that's competing next week. Well, not if she's not here.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, okay. Like, wow, way to be subtle about that. But yeah, and then Nicole Franzel, oh wow, I didn't even think of that. And I mean, I think, to me, like, it's starting to stand out. Okay, who is Memphis gonna nominate? Nicole A really stands out as someone who was certainly on his radar really from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. He's also gonna talk with Cody. Cody is gonna throw out the idea of, like, I mean, you don't want to backdoor Janelle, right? And Memphis is like, no, that was probably not. I mean, who would you even put up next to Janelle to make her go home? And Cody's like, literally anybody.
Yeah, Janelle is living rent free in every single house guest's head right now. She's on the lips of everybody. And this whole Janelle backdoor, or then potentially Kacer backdoor, gets floated out a little bit, but mostly Janelle backdoor, is something that I think is going to continue up until veto happens. And especially if either David or Nicole A win veto, then I really think that group, that power group, whatever you want to call them, whatever freaking permutation it is at the time of different people, I think are really going to be pushing for that backdoor. And Cody is doing his best to say, yeah, well, but, like, you know, I just think really it could be a problem if they call, you know, next week they win HOH. He's really planting, I don't even want to call them seeds, like, they're already sprouting, okay? Like, these are little, I don't know, little plantlets that that he's trying to put in Memphis's head, because he really wants that to happen.
And notably here, in all of these conversations, nominations have still not happened yet at this point in time, and Memphis is not letting Franzel know, not letting Cody know who he's deciding on. He is just saying again, like, you know, because Memphis did say the options before the safety competition happened, the entire day before, he said, it's Nicole and David or Bay and Day. And even then, we kind of got the sense that it was going to be Nicole and David. I don't think anything changed that. I think that was the plan all along. But he's so reluctant to tell anybody, even Cody, just definitively, this is what I'm going to do.
Well, and this is after the safety suite competition as well. So, okay, sure. Like, I get your plan if you don't want anybody to know before the safety suite competition, but you're working with these people. If your HOH, like, this is the time, especially because those nominations aren't that big a deal. It's not like you're going to blow up your spot if you don't tell them. And that just really sketches people out. And even if Memphis is trying to work with, you know, anyone else, he just refuses to say who he's going to nominate.
Yeah. So here's one of my theories on Memphis, because Memphis was always a little bit of a hothead. I mean, he's not a womanizer, but he, like, Dan tricked him into being really bad at jury management at the end of the season. And I think he never figured that out. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's trying to be Dan. He's trying to be the Dan that Dan was trying to trick him into being at the end of season 10. And he's trying to do that. Hey, leave your emotions at the door, make good TV. But he's not Dan. And so he doesn't have just respect for another human that Dan does. He doesn't have the personal connections to people that Dan does, the sitting and listening to them talk for a long time. Not wanting to really hurt anyone's feelings, just hey, it's in the game kind of thing. And so there's a lot of nuance to that kind of character, and Memphis has none of it.
He is grumpy. That is Memphis. And he can't pull it off. And I don't know if it is him trying to be Dan, or if he just thinks that I don't know that he has the ability to pull that off, because he really, really does not. And it's just, it's cold and it hurts. And that's not a great way to play this game.
And I think that that's why, one of the reasons why he's not telling anybody, he's being the anti James Hewling, that he is we are making good TV. Nobody gets to know. We're going to have surprised faces at the nomination ceremony. Nobody's going to get warned. That's not what this game is about. Let's have fun with it. Missing out on sort of, you don't have to go full James Hewling, but you need a little bit of it.
But even James still has an element of warmth to him, whereas I'm not in that house, but I just get the sense that the house is cold, and not just because of the temperature, but because of the attitude that Memphis is putting out there. It just, you kind of get chills at this is harsh, buddy. This isn't going to work.
Booyah in the chat. I feel like always be anti-James Hewling, but now I'm conflicted. Look, there's always two ends of the extreme, two extreme ends of the spectrum, right? And you got to be somewhere in the middle of Memphis and James Hewling when it comes to telling people plans.
Is that the spectrum we really want to go with here?
Memphis is going to talk to Christmas. He again says, I don't mind that you saved Ian, but it's annoying that he was saved twice in a row. Franzl is the one that I was really concerned about. And he should go soon, because people should see that people saving him is, dangerous. And Kristen's like, oh, yeah, I didn't mean to do anything. He's like, no, don't worry about it. He's been talking about how Christmas needs constant validation, reassurance. And Memphis really doesn't like to reassure people, which is the entire idea of his alliance. I feel like it's less organized so that it's strategically sound, and more organized so that he doesn't have to deal with people's feelings, and doesn't have to deal with people. I know this is a social game. I know I have to work with you losers, I don't want to have to talk to you guys. So we'll do the alliance thing, but not have to deal with any of the,
talking to each other, social thing. This is like the friends with benefits version of, of an alliance, right? Like, I just want all the perks with none of the work. But the thing with Christmas also is, you know, he just kept saying like, oh, I'm not mad that Ian was chosen. I'm not mad that Ian was chosen. Like, okay, sure, Jan. Like, that's why you were complaining to Enzo for a good 20 minutes up in the HOH room. So I don't really buy that. Even if Ian wasn't his main target, I think still having Ian available to put up would have been something that Memphis was looking at. But again, cold, ice cold.
Yeah. So Cody's going to talk with Enzo. He lets him know that he was trying to test the waters with Janelle. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not sure it's going to happen, but he's going to keep trying. They talk about like Devon might go up. If Day goes up, they'll have to save her. She's important to them. He talks about Danny and he's like, we may be projecting onto Janelle that and Cody is actually trying to keep Janelle around. He's pushing a Janelle back door, but like really he just wants Janelle and Kacer split up, and Cody would actually prefer that Kacer leave. And we'll get into that later. I still feel like that's probably because, you know, Janelle called him in the pregame because Janelle called a lot of people. But either way, he thinks that Kacer is the smarter player and more dangerous. I really think he doesn't see Janelle as like the brains of the operation. He sees Kacer as the brains of the operation. He's we're projecting onto Janelle is living rent free in everybody's mind. And we kind of can see that it's not all real, but Danny is real. Danny is the smartest player in this game. We need to watch out for Danny. Enzo's like, oh yeah, but she's cool for now, right? Like Enzo's not really as much about it.
Yeah, this was interesting because like props to Cody for this read. And he even says it a little bit later to Danny's face, like, oh, you're so smart. You're so good at this game. I was like, Cody, shut up. Like, this is what happened with Derek and Nicole Franzel in that season. Nicole Franzel was like, oh, you're such a good player. And then, you know, Derek targeted her and got her out of the game. So I think that's something that, yes, Cody absolutely has to be aware of, but he's got to be careful about how he plays that. And because the conversations, and you've talked about this before, they're so free, it feels like, between Danny and Cody. And I don't know if Cody just feels like, oh, my walls are down with her. I feel really comfortable with her. But then when he's out of that mist, then he can sort of be like, oh, she's going to be a dangerous player in the game. I don't know when this is going to come to fruition, but at some point during the season, we're going to have a Cody v. Danny, and I'm very excited about it.
So Memphis talks to Bailey. And he brings her into the HOH room and he says, all right, look, I've got a few people I'm thinking about nominating. I don't want to stress you out. But what I do want to say is that if I don't nominate you, I would like for us to have a gentleman's agreement that you return the favor. But nothing else. No more than that. This is not like we're working together. No. This is like you repaying me for what I'm about to do for you. And you can literally see the fake smile go on to Bailey's face as she's like, Yeah, that sounds great to me. Of course, we'll work together long term. No, it's a gentleman's agreement. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, definitely reciprocate that. You've got it, buddy. Because who wants to be like, just Memphis, have a little bit of empathy for one freaking second and just think, if you were in that situation and someone was telling you that, how would you respond? You know what I mean? I don't know if he doesn't want to get her hopes up. I don't know. I really don't know what was going through his head with this conversation, but poor Bailey, she went through that like a trooper, did that fake smile, even though to us, of course, you could tell Memphis probably oblivious to it all. But yes, very, very odd conversation.
Yeah. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So nominations are going to happen. And Memphis is going to nominate Nicole, Anthony, and David. And apparently, in the nominations, he said something along the lines of, like, hey, David, welcome to the grown-ups table. Like, time to earn your place kind of thing again. People were not pleased.
Yeah, there was also something about, like, I told you to play, now you're on the block.
Yeah,
you know,
how much get the full experience of playing Big Brother.
Maybe some choice language. I'm not quite sure. Like calling him boy, I think, or like referring to him as younger.
I think that was the grown-ups table.
So that's because, you know, of course we get several retellings throughout the next couple hours where different people are saying different things. I'm trying to piece together exactly what Memphis said, which this is, you know, two strikes in a row and not the good bowling kind. Like this is the bad kind. And David is able to gain so much sympathy from everyone in the house. Could have been his fake crying, could have been real crying, could have been all of Memphis's statements. But I mean, you can immediately tell the difference with David and Nicole A, where David is, everybody is around him, comforting him, telling him that Memphis was out of line. It was very interesting to see.
David does, he goes around, he's got tears, and people are comforting him. They're telling him that was so messed up, that like, why would he be so mean? There's no reason for that. And like they put arm around him. And he talks to Tyler and Tyler's like, oh man, we're gonna crush that guy. Like Tyler's pumped up. We're gonna crush this veto. We're gonna get you off the block. We're gonna get this guy.
It's like the most emotion I've seen from Tyler so far in this whole season, like in the storage room, just being like pump up speech, like play Remember the Name music, like we're gonna run this, we got this, you got the veto. Like,
I was like, my name is Tyler Crispin, you hurt my friend, prepare to die.
I mean, this is the nail in the coffin for the any type of Memphis Tyler relationship, I think, because Tyler is just not happy with Memphis.
But what we see from David by himself is a sort of like, you know, one of those like, no, it would be sad to like.
It was Cody, I think I saw one of those. He's like, oh, comfort, and then ha ha ha.
Yes.
It's those fake tears with Ika. Finally, one whole year later, we get to see them.
They worked on Grodner to get him back on All Stars.
Oh, Nicole Franzel to get him back on All Stars.
Right. No, yes. Grodner, then Franzel, just to make sure he was logged in. And then he was playing it up. So, I mean, and I also at the same time, he was definitely intending for us to see that he's playing this up at the very least, that he's completely faking it, whatever. That does not necessarily diminish the fact that he might have also felt genuinely upset. Often what happens is that somebody feels upset and then they like sort of play into it and they make it theatrical to make it more useful to themselves, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't upset in any way, but it also doesn't mean that he was upset in any way. We'll probably find out in the diary room or something.
I mean, I have to believe if you're going to get put up on block, like what are you going to have is like zero emotions? I think,
right.
Of course you're going to feel something, but then that's what you pull on to spiral. And especially when everybody's coming to comfort you, then you can kind of play it up a little bit.
So Memphis is going to talk, have a long talk with Janelle and Kacer after the nominations. This is when Janelle and Kacer are finally going to bring Memphis in on the theory that they have. So first they say like, look, you know, David's got to go. You know, we got to keep Nicole. Memphis is like, I don't care either way. Honestly, I don't really care. They're like, okay, but what about this though? What if we put Franzel on the block? What if we backdoor Nicole Franzel? She's dangerous. She's a winner. Here's the thing. We think that there's four people working together. They're running this house. It's Cody, Danny, Tyler, and Nicole Franzel. Franzel, she has Ian. They've got Enzo, maybe. They're running this house. They're running this house. It's dangerous. And Kacer, with a great line, I mean, Kacer knows the game. He's just talking to the wrong person right now. But Kacer talks about how this game works lately is that you come into the game and the people that make the big alliances early get the numbers and they make it to the end by controlling the flow of information and keeping people down. So like the people that aren't in power give the information to the people who are in power and then they control that information and they keep the other people out of power. Like that's how the game works. And Memphis is sitting here like, yeah, and I'm one of them. And you don't know it. And I'm controlling the flow of information right now. Dummies.
Oh, this is so painful to watch because it was like, oh my God, you guys are so right with Kacer, especially that insight into the like concisely summing up what the structure of recent Big Brother seasons have been to the person who is part of that core or, you know, that majority alliance.
Someone who thinks he's part of the core.
He is. Yes, that's true. That's true. No, but that's the thing is with the people on the outside, it's too late. They've been trying to form whatever the counterinsurgency is going to be, but they're talking to the people that are in power. Kevin is talking to Danny. Kacer and Janelle are talking to Memphis and they're going at one another. You know, they think Janelle is running everything and they're just never going to be able to get anything together because that structure has already been put in place.
Yep. I mean, man. It really is like, I mean, this like this is why that was the first off-season podcast I did, because that this whole idea of this dominant strategy in Big Brother has been on my mind for so long. And it is so effective. And it really like any experienced player should come into the game and it should be a race in the first few days of like who can get to this amazing structure first, because once you're there, it's so hard to counter it. And that doesn't mean that it can't be countered. We saw Vanessa do it. We've seen like, you know, when there aren't great players in it, like with Grateful, like it can crumble. And you saw that, you know, Cliff really helped accelerate that as well. It can still be countered. It can still be broken, but it's very difficult to, especially in when you add in the fact that the competitions are a lot more winnable. And so you do get a lot of the same people winning many competitions. So you just get those people into this structure. And it's especially effective because it's hard. You can't even get any power outside of it. And then on top of that, if you add a twist like Battle of the Block or Roadkill or like a third nominee somewhere or Camp Comeback to like really encourage these groups to stick together, give them multiple chances of getting a nominee on the block and controlling the votes. It's a very, very dominant strategy. And it's what Kacer and Janelle are up against right now.
Yeah. And I think what is also especially challenging for this season is because there's not one big 9-person alliance or 8-person alliance. Like, I guess like the Bomb Squad would be the one that I would think to compare it to. Instead, you have sort of these smaller groups. They're more of a cloud type structure, this Venn diagram organization. And I think that also makes it particularly challenging to break that apart because you have even more of an interesting flow of information between all of these different groups. And the outside people really just, it's going to be tough. And I don't know if they can do it, especially because Memphis, you know, one of the people who at least is HOH this week and is in power is someone who then immediately goes to Cody later, not immediately, but goes to Cody later and says, hey, this is what Kacer and Janelle are saying, right? Mm-hmm. Talk about flow of information. That's Memphis controlling that flow of information.
Exactly. And it's such a stark contrast. So, you know, Kacer and Janelle, they came up with this theory the night before. Mm-hmm. They're now telling Memphis about it. They said they need to round up numbers against this, you know, big group. Memphis says, I disagree. I don't want to do big alliances early. That's not how I play. You don't get into big alliances for you. Like, you're not going to use a veto on me if you win. They're like, why not? This is too big of a target. Nobody's going to do. You're going to tell me you're going to use the veto on me? No, of course not. Like we do that later in the game. That's a later in the game thing. Now we're just kind of chilling. So they fail in the pitch essentially. And this information is going to spread like wildfire. So Janelle and Kacer have a thought one night. And by the following night, everybody knows. Cody and like the people he's working with are keeping secrets from day one. Haven't gotten out. That's the power differential. And it's massive. That's sort of where they're at right now.
Yeah. And I mean, it's super frustrating as a viewer because, you know, oh, what a mix up. But from a strategy perspective, it's very interesting to see how these clusters have formed and how that information can then so quickly get on everybody's lips. And then is, you know, there's a conversation that happens later in the night, which I'm sure we'll talk about, well, how to really get this this Janelle backdoor, maybe Kacer, but you know, more pushing the Janelle backdoor, and it's because that information got out so quickly about that core group before quote unquote running the house.
Mm-hmm. So we're then going to see that Janelle talks to Nicole. Nicole is upset. There was a funny moment where Nicole was, I mean, it wasn't that funny because Nicole's crying and I feel bad, but Nicole is in the key room in the bedroom, and like Kevin and Ian, I think, were in there, and they were kind of comforting her, and Janelle just kind of like storms it, like just kind of like comes in, like opens the door. She's like, all right, you guys get out. I'm going to comfort her.
It's my turn.
Yeah. So they just leave. And Janelle just sits down with Nicole. So Janelle tells Nicole, like, look, I was trying to talk to Memphis about the idea of like, hey, we need to work together. But it's like, he's not biting. He just wants to play like this, like, you know, free agent kind of game. And, but we're trying to work on him. We're trying to like get him to pull you in so that, you know, maybe we can take you off. Maybe we can backdoor like Franzel or something. Like we're trying to make this work. And Nicole's like, okay.
So I know that like there's a lot of frustration, I think, from a lot of the fans and myself included about Nicole Anthony this season and how she's been, you know, missing the fact that Janelle clearly wants to work with her, right? Whereas Nicole Anthony continues to say like, oh, there's some other big alliance, I'm not part of it. But that's because she's getting so much misinformation from so many other places within the house. And if you look at the fact that, you know, Kacer and Janelle are theoretically working with Memphis and Memphis puts up Nicole Anthony, of course she's going to mistrust Janelle and is going to mistrust that side of the house. So I get that from her perspective. It must be just really frustrating.
Yeah. So Kevin is going to talk with Day, and speaking of frustrating and speaking of people who have not had much information in the house, Kevin is really starting to feel like Janelle and Kacer are the cause of all of the world's ills. The people on the outside are me, you, Devon, Bailey, Nicole Anthony, and David, and we need to group up together. And I was like, that's actually kind of close. Like, you're actually kind of close to the mark there. Just about Bailey and Devon for Kacer and Janelle. And you've got it. You're so close. And then he says, and the bad people, the enemies, there, it's Janelle, Kacer, and Memphis. And I was like, that is not close.
Yeah, right. It's like, okay, you're getting there. No. And then, like, he called Kacer, I think, a Silicon Valley douchebag at one point in the night.
Just he like, says he's arrogant. He says he's sneaky. He's like, he's very charismatic, but he's very sneaky. He's a liar. He's not trustworthy. Janelle is dangerous. She's untrustworthy. You can't trust a thing, single word she says. And a lot of people are very upset about Kevin. There's a lot of unnecessary trash talking. Yes. The read, though, I have a harder time blaming Kevin as much as some other people, because Janelle and Kacer spent the entire week last week campaigning hard against Kevin. He was kept out of the loop because he was on the block. And Janelle literally went around saying that Kevin was a massive liar because of his season. I mean, he came up with the lie and he's a floater and he's not worth anything in the game. And they've been trash talking him to Nicole. And then he asked her about it and she lied to his face, and she was very obvious about lying to him. So like Kevin has a lot of reason to be skeptical of Janelle and Kacer read wise. But of course, going too far in the trash talking with about them.
I would co-sign that. I think Janelle and Kacer are not really doing themselves any favors if they are trying to build some sort of counter alliance. One, going to Memphis, not great, but okay, let's say they still think that Memphis is on their side. Wouldn't you want to pick up other people? And I feel like they're really not talking to others. There was one point in the night where everybody was in the living room and they were telling, I think Ian was telling like a date story, which was hilarious. But then where is Kacer? Where is Janelle? Like, they're in the bathroom talking to what? Nicole Anthony, I think. And it was like, guys, you have to work on these other connections. This still is a social game at the end of the day.
They're spending so much energy on Nicole. And when we talk about it later, it's going to be bad.
Like, all for naught. Stop.
And like, really, again, Kevin, I think is really close. And I think that like him, David, yeah, honestly, him, David, Devon, Bailey, Nicole Anthony, and Janelle and Kacer all should work together, because for as much as Devon and Bailey are protected by the Connect Four alliance with Cody and Enzo, and that they are in the power structure, they are the people in the power structure with the least amount of power. And they will be the first ones to get cut, I think. Maybe not the first ones to get cut. They will be the first ones to be kind of like, they're not going to be protected that hardcore. If that makes sense. Like, I could see Danny or Cody like going after Danny and using Bailey and Devon to do it, but like and that could work out for them, and I don't think they're in a bad spot by any means. I think that being in this power structure, even if you're at the bottom of it, is still fine. You can kind of like find yourself, you know, stepping over the battle of the civil war and the power structure and then winning the game, but you don't have as much control over your own fate. You have to hope that Cody's going to fight with Danny. You have to hope that these things happen. And if you want to take your own fate into your own hands, then you should be trying to pull in some of these outsiders and getting some extra leverage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if that civil war doesn't come, I think absolutely there is some of the first people to go. The fact that Memphis, although, you know, he's not like really in it, was thinking about Bay and Day, I think is a bad sign, because it means you are at the bottom of what could be that power structure. So I think that's something they're going to have to look out for. And I don't know if they necessarily see it. I mean, there's the whole pre-gaming thing with Bay and Janelle that continues to get brought up. Danny and Day have a conversation about that. And so I think there's enough sort of seeds of potential distrust that might be a problem and prevent that group from coming together. But certainly they just don't see it, that that's the group that has to fight against what is now the power structure in the house.
Mm-hmm. And again, this goes back to like last week when I talked about like they were talking about throwing the HOH. And I was like, I would prefer they don't do that, because I'd like to see them take some power into their own hands. But either way, they'll probably be fine. And they are fine. But it was kind of a close thing here. If Memphis had decided to go Bailey and Devon, we could very easily see one of them leaving here, even if, you know, Cody does want to protect them. It's probably going to be Bailey in this spot, because Cody and Enzo and Danny, they all want to protect Devon more than Bailey. And like, that would have been bad. And that's like, they are not secure enough, I think, to be feeling that comfortable, and they are now realizing it. So that's important. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But Kevin's talking to Day. He's talking about all that stuff. Danny talks to Day, and Danny lets Day know about Bailey and the fact that Bailey pre-gamed with Janelle, and Devon did not know this. Devon was like, oh, what? Like they Bailey, like Janelle called Bailey, Bailey called Janelle. Like they were calling each other. They have like a pregame thing. And Danny's like, yes, yes. She's like, oh my God, I've been telling Bailey so much stuff about Janelle. I am worried. And this, I believe, was real worry. They're gonna have a conversation about it later. We didn't catch much of it, but she was genuinely like, oh crap. I hope I am not in another situation where I'm getting betrayed here by my closest ally. But don't worry, spoilers, it works out.
Yeah, that's okay. It'll be okay. It's just a brief moment of panic during this conversation. But yeah, this is also, I'm telling you, the Danny mist. The Danny mist is real. And, you know, even if it is, regardless of the actual information, the way that Danny communicates is so passionate, so like, you are my focus. I am paying attention to you. I am with you. I am having this conversation with you. And that's really powerful.
Yeah. They also talk about how they think, and so like, it's very anti-Janelle. They feel like, okay, if we can get rid of Janelle, not only do we sever the Janelle and Bailey connection, but we also now have Kacer alone, and they feel like they can work with Kacer. And so they really have a lot of incentive to get rid of Janelle and maybe try to pull in Kacer. And I do feel like if Janelle left, Kacer would be in an okay spot. The problem is that Cody is still going to be anti-Kacer, but I think a lot of other people are going to feel like he's useful to them, but we'll see.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, definitely for the long-term survival of half of the pair, one of them is going to have to go. This is like a chopping off the limb so that the body can survive.
It's going to happen at some point.
Exactly. And it's inevitable. It's going to happen at some point. And I kind of feel like the sooner it happens, the better it is for the other party, because then things are hopefully at least a little bit more fluid. And Kacer, let's say Janelle is the one to go, Kacer can then get in with another group, whether it be Bay and Day, Danny, whomever, then he actually might be able to get some roots, dare I say, in with these other people and make it at least a little bit further.
So Kevin talks to Danny and he tells her about this power trio, Janelle, Kacer, and Memphis, and how Janelle is now up there, you know, gallivanting in the HOH room with some wine, and she's hanging out with Memphis and they're laughing. Like, Kevin is now like Janelle and Memphis, and like, again, you can almost see why he, like, I, from Kevin's point of view right now, like, Memphis is Jackson and Janelle is Jack. Like they're up there in the HOH room laughing about their mean speeches. And this is all pre-planned, and Janelle is stabbing Nicole in the back and playing her for a fool. And he feels like they're such jerks.
So, okay, when I was watching the Kacer, Janelle, and Memphis conversation that happened right after Noms, I thought I heard the doorbell ring, and I was like, is that my house? Is that their house? Like, I don't know what's happening. But then Kevin later is like, I rang the doorbell and they completely ignored me, and they were laughing and laughing. I don't know if he heard the laughing. I don't even know if they were laughing at the time, but definitely the fact that he rang the doorbell and got ignored because he wanted to just thank Memphis for not putting him up. That's not a great look.
Yeah. And it's like, it's frustrating because Kevin is wrong. But again, like, you can kind of see why he thinks it. But like, this should be a lesson to us all in the Big Brother community, that when you just like come up with random conspiracy theories in your mind that you have no proof of at all, and then use that to then viciously attack people, it's kind of not cool.
Like, maybe don't do that. Yeah, not enough tinfoil for him to really get a signal on that one. Again, somewhat based in fact, but I mean, certainly not happening. Just very, very interesting, but very aggressive with his trash talking. And I think that is the overstepping the bounds here.
Mm-hmm. Kevin also talks to Nicole, and he basically gives this theory to her about Janelle and Kacer and Memphis, and that they're playing her, they're using her, they're up there. Janelle is upstairs with some wine in Memphis right now, laughing, hanging out for hours. When he went up there, there was three of them and they were laughing. She's being played, and she is getting flashbacks, and she's like, oh my god, it's happening again. Janelle's playing me for a fool. They're making fun of me upstairs. And like, she's really like retreating into, you know, I can't believe it's happening again. She's crying. Like, when I got the call, I cried. And I told my parents, like, I can't do this. If it happens again, like, what if it happens again? And now it's happening again. And she feels terrible because, like, after her first season, she went in she had anxiety, and she was self-conscious and awkward. And then she came out and she felt like, you know, I've grown and I've gotten more confident, and I'm like more confident in myself and I feel good about myself. And she had so many people like tell her like, oh, you're such an inspiration to me. Like, if you can do it, I can do it. And now she feels like she's letting all those people down because she's back to anxious, self-conscious Nicole. Which, like, you know, I know Nicole's not listening, but like there's no end game to self-improvement. Like, nobody's just perfect forever. Constantly having to deal with these struggles is an inspiration in and of itself, and she shouldn't feel bad, but she is in this moment. And it sucks, to have to watch it, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, thankfully there are house guests that are in there that are saying exactly what you're saying, Taryn, is that like, it's okay. You know, you're allowed to have emotion. It's okay to express that emotion, and it's okay to deal with these struggles again. I mean, even more so watching somebody go through the struggle is more inspirational because you see that you can make it through and make it out to the other side. You see that growth, but she's just really in her head. There was a lot of crying from Nicole Anthony. It was disheartening to see. A little annoying, if I'm being Memphis lack of empathy-esque, but yeah, I mean, she's clearly upset about the whole thing, and especially the flashbacks to her last season, or her, you know, her first season of I'm Being Played is just shot to the heart.
Yeah, but here's the thing: she's buying it hook, line, and sinker, and even getting on board the like screw them train, which again, like, you know, don't be so quick to trash people, especially when you don't even know all the facts.
No, Kevin is the conductor and he's just sweeping up people left and right. Doesn't matter, facts or not. His like inference is what we're going off of. And he's trying to get as many people up on there to go after this whole Janelle and Kacer conspiracy theory nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Janelle does talk to Memphis some more when she's upstairs with the wine. She tries to convince him again that, you know, we need to pull in Nicole. We need to bring her in. We need to make sure she doesn't go home. And like, maybe we can backdoor Franzl. If not, I guess we can get rid of David. And he will not agree to backdooring Franzl. He just is like, Franzl?
Yeah,
why would I need to do that?
Non-committal is like the nicest way I could think to say it, because it's a little bit of just like, no, like, of course I'm never going to do that, especially because, you know, we know that while Memphis is trying to keep his relationship with Janelle and Kacer on the up and up, he also seems to be more loyal to the other alliance that he put in place.
And this is the source, I think, of much of the frustration of last night with people watching, is that Janelle is upstairs stumping hard for Nicole, trying to save Nicole, and, you know, kind of harming, like continuing to harm her own game in the process. And meanwhile, Nicole is downstairs, fully convinced now that Janelle is playing her and Janelle is the devil, and she can't believe she fell for Janelle's lies. And it's like, oof.
Oof. Five oofs. Not great.
So many oofs.
Yeah.
Memphis is going to talk to Cody. They do like this download. Memphis tells him about Janelle and Kacer's theories about the alliance. Mm-hmm. And Cody says, yes, I just heard from Christmas that Kacer went to Christmas. And he said to her, and I don't think we saw this on the feeds, but we know that Kacer was kind of planning on doing this. Kacer went to Christmas and said, there's a four person alliance. It's Danny, Cody, Franzl, Tyler. And they are trying to convince Memphis to do their dirty work and target you, take you out. You won the safety, so now they can't do it. And so that's why Nicole and David are on the block. And Cody was not pleased about this. Like, hey, how dare you try to take my pawn away from me? And how dare you talk about me in my actual alliance? Because that's very scary and I don't want you to target me. Please don't do that.
Yeah, right. How dare you speak the truth? I am offended at this.
Well, mostly the truth. About Christmas, but the alliance. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. This was really funny. And this is, you know, Cody is the one who's been most distrustful of Kacer from the beginning. You know, he wanted Kacer potentially gone that first week, especially out of the two of Kacer and Janelle. And this is not helping Cody feel any better about Kacer in this house.
Yes. So now Cody is pushing even harder he's using this as a platform, as a jumping off point. And he really feels like it's even more do or die than before. If these people are saying our four names, then one of them needs to go, Memphis, because if Kacer or Janelle win next week, they're going to put two of those four on the block. And if one of us wins the veto, they're going to put a third person on the block. And there's nothing that we can do to prevent that. So we need to take one of them out to lower their chances of winning HOH. And Memphis is just kind of like, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Non-committal. He really doesn't want to backdoor anyone. You know, he talks about it earlier, maybe Ian, but I think Memphis just wants nominations to stay this week because he's trying to keep both of these sides happy. Of course, he doesn't want to take a shot at Nicole Franzel. He doesn't really want to take a shot at Janelle or Kacer. So he's just sort of doing the meh.
Yeah. So Janelle goes down to talk to Nicole and she says, look, I made some progress with Memphis. I think that we can get him to backdoor someone. He told me he'd pick me to play in the veto. So if I play, I'll win and I'll use it on you. And Nicole's just like, yeah, I don't believe your lies. Yes! I know you're tricking me.
Oh, this was so frustrating because like that's what Janelle was doing. But Nicole Anthony has just spent like an hour down in the bottom part of the house. Just being completely convinced by Kevin, etc., that, oh no, definitely Janelle is making fun of you, is not on your side. When Janelle then comes down, spits the truth of like, I really am trying to keep you safe. Nicole Anthony is just not having it.
Yep. So Cody is going to talk with Danny, Tyler, and Franzel at like various points. They're coming in and out of the photo room. By the way, the photo room is super annoying. There's like some... like the house is very cold. There's a lot of air coming in, especially in the photo room, and they can never hear each other. There's so much of their conversation is what? What'd you say? What'd you say? And then they repeat themselves. And what was it? Oh, we got to talk more. No, because then they'll hear us through this wall, because they will. And so this, it's very annoying. And then even after that, it's like, on top of that, you still have two Nicoles in the house. So it's like, okay, what was it? Nicole? Which Nicole? Nicole F? Nicole A? And like, oh, Nicole A. Okay. So then I'm talking to Nicole. Nicole A again? No. This one, Nicole F. It's like, oh.
Figure it out, guys. Like, I don't care what you pick, but you need to figure out how to talk about them. Yeah. And then of course, like Cody is trying to talk louder, which I'm like, oh, thank you, Cody. I really appreciate that. And then Danny's like, shh. Like you have to be quiet. Like, no, it's fine.
So they talk about how Kacer and Janelle will nominate them. That's terrible. One of them has to go. Cody wants it to be Kacer. Tyler and Danny are like, no, Janelle's more dangerous. Come on. And he's like, but Kacer's so smart. And they're like, Cody, Janelle, she's way more dangerous. She's more connected. She's better at competitions. You gotta take out Janelle over Kacer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is sort of interesting because Cody's logic is like, well, Kacer is the smarter one of the two. So obviously you want to take out the brains of the operation. But then Danny and Tyler are saying, yeah, but what's he going to do without Janelle? What's he even doing with Janelle? Like, it's not like they together have pulled together this power, but I guess maybe Janelle is more of the threat here. I think it really comes down to who they think they can work with. And I think Kacer is somebody who they think that they can pull in. So it's more about just convincing Cody that Janelle has to go because, you know, ultimately they don't think that they can work with her.
Yes. And so something that Tyler has been doing throughout the day and very well, I think we know that he wants to protect David, and he keeps dropping little seeds throughout the day that are very like good, solid, very concise arguments for why David should stay. But he does them in a way that makes it seem like he's not like just going super out of his way to do it. So he's making cases like, you know, we talked about it yesterday. That stuff like, you know, David will come to us. He's useful. Cody wants to use him as a pawn. If he wins HOH, it's like our HOH. You know, he'll want to bro down with us, that sort of thing with Cody. He talks with Danny about how useful David is and how he doesn't have anybody else. And, he's super valuable that way. After the nominations, Tyler's going to drop things like, oh yeah, now David's pissed at Memphis. So they're going to go at it together. Like, that's great for us. It's like distraction. They're going after each other. Like, yes, absolutely. So many times they're agreeing, like, yes, David has to stay. David has to stay. He's making sure that he's not just like resting on his laurels and like, oh, well, they want David to stay, so I'm sure David's going to stay. He's continuing to make sure that they feel the importance of David staying. And I thought he does a very good job of it throughout the day.
And I think part of it too is that he's not so overt about it. It's subtle enough that it's just slipped into conversation, but it's happening so frequently that, you know, you hear Danny say, oh yeah, yeah, we'll keep David. We're keeping David, which then she's saying it's coming out of her mouth, which means that that thought is being embedded deeper and deeper within her brain. And he's doing this with other people as well, that, okay, Danny really is, or David really is the one who has to stay this week.
Mm-hmm. So Tyler also suggests that, okay, if we're going to try and get Janelle backdoored, then why don't we work on Nicole and try to pull her in, try to see like, oh, try to get her to feel like she's being used by Janelle. Cause he's already kind of talked to her. She's already kind of feeling that vibe from her. Like, if we can get Nicole pulled in, then we can pull in both Nicole and David. We can get Janelle out of the game and like win. Right. So that's kind of the new plan, and they are going to spend some time working on Nicole. And so here's kind of the thing about Nicole not believing Janelle and Kacer. It's really good for her game because she's dead in the water if she stays up on the block next to David as things stand. But if they feel like she's not with Kacer and Janelle anymore, they have no reason to take her out. And now they want to pull her in because she's against Kacer and Janelle. But so like, she's, for the wrong reasons, I think, doing what's best for her game. Like, if she was a smart player, she would say, she would look at Kacer and Janelle and her in a room, and she would go, wait a minute, this feels familiar. I wonder if Keisha sat in this spot. Anybody that gets close to them is going to get sent home. She should be running for the hills and saying, I want nothing to do with them. I have nothing to do with them. But that's not how she plays. She doesn't do that. But instead, she's doing it unintentionally because she really feels like they're coming for her. She's running away from them. She's like, they're coming for me with pitchforks. Get away from Kacer and Janelle. And so it's kind of inadvertently working out for her in a way.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There's no townspeople to grab the pitchforks, because if there were, Keisha would still be here, right? Yeah. Like, who is this town? I don't get it.
So they're going to be talking to Nicole all night, talking to her about how, oh yeah, Janelle's been using you, and she's now socializing with them for the first time, and like, they're really like seemingly getting her on board with things. It wouldn't surprise me though if she flips back over to Janelle tomorrow and then back again, and that's kind of what we've come to expect from Nicole.
It was actually really funny, because I think it was, I can't remember what the conversation was. It was something about like, well, you know, Memphis was targeting Ian or something because he was a flip flopper or something. And Nicole, it was like, he doesn't know I'm a flip flopper, does he? Or something like that. I was like, ah, shut up, Nicole. You're not doing yourself any favors. But yeah, I mean, Kevin put the seeds of distrust with Janelle, between Janelle and Nicole Anthony. Jacole.
That's Jacole.
Is that like Jacuse?
Yeah.
The Big Brother version. And then, yeah, now the other side is actually coming to reap the rewards of what Kevin had done.
What if we got a Janzel at some point?
A Janzel. Sure, Janzel.
All right. So speaking of, Franzel is going to talk with Ian. And I'll tell you guys, I don't want Nicole Anthony to go home this week. But if she does, I'll get to call Franzel and Nicole again, and my life will just be easier. So, like, I'm not
watching the feeds will be easier because they won't be doing that as well.
I don't want her to go home, But if she does, I have something to take home with me as a consolation prize, and I can appreciate that. So
silver linings.
Yes. Franzel talks with Ian, and she says, and this is a great conversation from Franzel. I mean, you know, say what you will, but she's like, so obviously we can trust Christmas. Yesterday I was talking to her and I put the idea in her head, and that worked out well. And Ian was like, oh, thank you so much. She's like, and I'm trying to pull you into things. Like, she continues to say that, like, I'm trying to get you involved. Watch out for Janelle, because she keeps trying to pair us up together, which is bad. Like, we don't want that target. And so Ian just kind of like lists off, like, okay, you know, Christmas can be trusted. Janelle's trying to pair us together. You're trying to pull me into things. Great. Awesome. And they hug and he leaves and she's just like, oh, I just love him.
Yeah, this is such a cute conversation. What are they called? The Millions Club or something like
Million
that?
Club.
Million yes. Club, yes.
And so Ian, so the previous night, when I was talking about Janelle and Nicole having their sort of like realization about the four person alliance, that Kevin was kind of a part of, but then like wasn't, because they started to exclude him in the middle of the conversation, because they were next to each other and he was on the other side of Nicole. Ian was still in the room as well, sleeping. And he actually was able to hear a lot of their conversation, not necessarily the details of it all the time, but he was hearing that they were like whispering the whole time. And so he tells Franzel that he was awake and he was able to hear some of what they were saying. I thought that was pretty fun too.
This is one of those beautiful payoffs that you finally get, like, what, 24 hours later or something like that. Because I was like, did he hear? Because, you know, he like knew he was in there. I was like, is he asleep? Is he not asleep? What was he able to make out from this? And finally, through this conversation, yes, indeed, we get confirmation that he was awake.
Yeah. It's, well, here's the thing. This sort of theorizing happens constantly on the feeds. Like, you know, just a few days ago, like, oh, did Ian hear Cody and Danny talking about Janelle? Mm-hmm. You know, earlier today in the day, we're talking about Danny was talking to Tyler and they were talking about their numbers. And she accidentally said, you know, five instead of six. Oh, and she was like, oh, why do I keep saying five? People are like, oh, and everyone like loves to freak out about these things. Like 99% of the time, they don't go anywhere. But in this case, he actually was pretending to sleep. So it's very fun when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. The one time it comes to fruition. And the fact that it took so long to pay off too, because eventually you're like, oh my gosh, he heard. And then throughout the course of the day, you're like, eh, I didn't say anything about it. Eh, I didn't say anything about it. Oh, it's probably not true. And then in this conversation, of course, that comes to light.
Yeah. So Day is going to talk with Bay, and they have a brief conversation in the storage room first, where Bailey is kind of just like, we got to change the game plan. We can't be throwing competitions anymore. Like, I'm gunning for this next one. Like, call me aggressive if you want. Like, I'm coming for people. Like, we got to do something. And so then they later kind of talk a little bit more in their sort of like the hallway, bedroom, comic room. It's not really a room, though. It's just part of the hallway. I don't like that it's a room. But they're hanging out there, and again, we miss a good portion of this conversation, especially at the beginning, but you can sort of hear the tail end of it, where Bailey is telling Devon, like, hey, you know, don't worry about it. Like, I'm choosing you over anyone else in this house, and that includes Janelle. She's telling Devon that, like, Devon's her number one, Janelle is kind of her number two. It's clear that Devon was asking Bailey about this. Like, you called Janelle in the pregame thing, and Bailey admitted it and was like, yes, I'm working with Janelle, but you know, it's for our benefit. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm always going to choose you over her. And they both seemed to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really did seem like they were able to patch things up, especially at least from Devon's perspective of distrusting Bay for at least maybe a short period of time, worrying about her connection to Janelle. But it was just great to see Bailey sort of recognize that, oh, like, we need to do something. And I don't know if it's because she's connected to Janelle and Janelle is on the outs, or she's able to sense this this other power structure starting to form, or recognizing that maybe she's not having that many game conversations. And so that's a reason why she feels like, okay, we need to take this into our own hands. We need to win HOH. We need to at least gather information. Even if it's not about making a big move, it's about realizing the structure of the house so that they can better work within that to get themselves further in the game.
Yeah. And so at the tail end of this conversation, Day says that like I wanted you to know that about Danny. I don't know what exactly. Either like don't trust her, she's talking crap about you and Janelle, or like you should reassure Danny that you're not working with Janelle because we want Danny to trust us. Like, I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, no, this is very much like piecing together an archaeological dig of some sort of just trying to get these pieces, being like, okay, wait, so based on context of other conversations, you know, what might this mean? Especially because I do believe that Bay and Day do consider themselves, you know, each other's number one. Mm-hmm. And so thinking that they are speaking truthfully to one another in this conversation, because that could provide just so much more insight into what they're thinking.
And then they talked about something that was very interesting, in my opinion. Day says, I've been watching. I think Cody might have played this safety to throw people off. I'm worried he's trying to play Derek's game. And Bay's like, yeah, she's trying. But, it's going to blow up. And that was kind of the end of it, because they get interrupted and they never get back to the conversation. But that was very curious to me. Day is looking at Cody and she's like, something's going on here. Bailey seemed like she was like, I'm sure he's trying, but it'll blow up. Like, it seemed like she was kind of trying to be like, let's not do anything about it necessarily. But I don't know. Like, this conversation could go anywhere. It could go nowhere. They could never revisit it again. It could have just been a passing thought from Devon. But I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think also it gave Devon, you know, a little bit of grief for some of her reads in the early part of the game.
But she's back.
She's back, baby. That was really nice to see. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is what we're getting. And I hope it goes somewhere.
Yeah. So we also get some Tyler talk to the cameras. Tyler is going to hang out in the photo room and just give us his thoughts on the game. He says, David's got to stay. Memphis, I've got to get out of here at some point. Janelle's got to go. I wanted to work with Janelle, too. That's lame. Danny's always scheming, but we can rock with this alliance for a little bit. It's not BB20 anymore.
And Tyler is also back. Like, it was just nice to get into his head a little bit, because you know, we haven't seen that much from him in the diary room sessions from the episodes. And so it was nice to get a download. Some, of course, of which we knew, especially his relationship with David. But some of these other little gems were just nice to be reassured of how he's thinking.
Yes. So he says Cody, David, and Christmas are the people he's tightest with. Enzo, too, mm-hmm. trying to work on Bay. He doesn't know if she'll ever trust him, though, but at least they're friends now. He loves Devon, loves Nicole Anthony, wants both her and David to stay. He did throw the veto last week. He thinks, I think I can make it pretty far. Feeling pretty good. If not, that's okay.
He'll just get to go back to Angela's vegan cooking a little bit sooner.
He's like talking to Angela throughout this. I'm cutting those portions out. He has a plan to get Memphis out of here and cover the rest of the alliance when the time comes. Like I said, like Tyler is on a quest for revenge against Memphis, and the Red Wedding is coming for him. And Tyler is going to send his regards.
He is plotting. He's ready to go after him. And I think it's fabulous. You know, we talked about maybe a sleepy first week of feeds, but we're starting to see things fall apart. We're starting to see more distrust, and whatever Tyler has up his sleeve for Memphis, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And it's like, it's frustrating too, to hear that he really wanted to work with Janelle. Cause I think I got that vibe. He was talking to Kaser and Janelle a decent amount in the first week. But they just think he's like super, like they didn't try with him because they just assumed that he was not with them. And so they didn't make an attempt. And I feel like that could have been a game changer. That could have been an entirely different season. If Kacer and Janelle, instead of going, Tyler's way too dangerous, we need to get him out, he's the power structure. If they instead went to Tyler with any of this, like, hey, we want to work with you, we're worried about Cody. Even if they said we're worried about Cody, Tyler wouldn't have minded. Tyler's mm-hmm. not going to run that to Cody necessarily. Tyler's going to be like, cool, you're with me. I've got more weapons. And then we could have seen a whole different, especially because that was before Tyler and Cody had like bonded more. They were still kind of like hovering around each other at that point. So, mm-hmm. man, what could have been?
Get out your fan fiction, ladies and gents, write that up. Although it is kind of funny because isn't that the relationship that like Kevin and Nicole Anthony like think are happening, right? Don't they think that Tyler is close with Kacer and Janelle? So
they did. I don't know if they still do.
That's true.
So he also talks about, and this was interesting as well, he's concerned about Christmas saving Ian, in particular because he sees that was probably Franzel's move. And he's wondering if Franzel is trying to pull Christmas in, which she is. And he says, okay, need to talk to Christmas tomorrow to make sure that she's not being convinced of things. So basically, Tyler wants to unfranzel missed Christmas tomorrow, which is very interesting. We're gonna maybe see a little bit of a tug of war for like who can control Christmas's reins. It's interesting. He also says that the first few days here, he was really, really, really struggling, wanting to leave, missing Angela. I was talking to Ovi on my Twitch stream last night. He gave some insight into Tyler's pregame and sort of like he also was, you know, in touch with Tyler in the process. And Tyler really didn't want to play for a long time. He had to be convinced. It's not super surprising that we saw him come in and he was so passive. And it's what I was criticizing. And that he really was struggling and he wanted to go home. But now his head's in the game and we're going to see where it goes.
And that is what you want to see because he is going to be a force to be reckoned with. You know, there's a reason why he was my winner pick back in his first season. There's a reason why he may be my winner pick this season is because he has just such a great grasp on the game. And the fact that he was able to see that it was Nicole Franzel was really fantastic. Whereas Memphis and Enzo are like, Ian's so smart. You know, yeah, like it's definitely Ian. Whereas Tyler was able to see that connection.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that you wanted to bring up?
I think that's everything for a very busy day. And, you know, we've got Vito today. We'll see what happens with that. If one of these backdoor plans is really pushed, depending on who wins the veto competition, but Memphis is certainly not having it. Although if he's forced to use the veto, you know, then I think we could have a really interesting day.
There are a lot of different scenarios that can play out from this point. Nicole or David could just flat out win themselves and take themselves off. And then who does Memphis put up as a replacement? There's not a lot of options. It could be Kevin.
Yeah,
Kevin. Could be Davon. And Davon's worried about that. It could be some of those people, or it could be that Cody and Tyler and them like do convince him to throw up Janelle or Kacer. That would be a terrible move for Memphis. I don't know at this point. I don't think he will, but like it's possible. Or we could see another interesting scenario if somebody like Tyler or Cody win. Make Tyler would want to use it on David. Memphis would probably not want Tyler to use it on David. And that could cause some tension just right away. And you might see that like, Memphis is like, if you use it on David, then I'm going to put up somebody you don't want me to put up. Like, who knows where it could go? So lots of different options, lots of different interesting potential things.
What I am rooting for is if Janelle wins and takes off Nicole Anthony, because that is a situation I think would be very fascinating.
I mean, that would be very dangerous for like Davon or Bailey, I think, because if Davon, what could be interesting is that if Davon or Bailey goes up, we'd probably see Tyler want to keep David, mm-hmm. Cody want to keep Devon or Bailey, and we might see a very quick split there, but they'd probably push Memphis hard not to do that, but he might not even tell them he's going to do it before he does it. So
exactly,
anything can happen here.
Anything could happen. Or we, you know, Memphis wins veto and then nothing changes.
Yeah,
he could also be the case.
And he could also do, of course, Kevin, which would be very easy for everyone, and that would be probably the smartest play on his part. And in fact, it would be, you know, Kevin should have been his target to begin with, because Kevin is always, you know, Kevin's very anti-Memphis. But
we will see.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, if you're interested in watching the stream from last night where Ovi jumped on a couple hours in. So you can search for that part if you want. You can also find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Liana, what are you up to?
Well, first, you can find me on Twitter @LianaRHAP. I am podcasting about Big Brother on the BNB. Mike and I got together to talk with Maggie from the class of 2020 about this first week. We're also doing our Survivor rewatch as part of the Survivor BNB. And Canada's Drag Race is also in full swing. And so we are doing that with now video podcasts over on the YouTube page. So if you want to check out all of the looks, that's something that you can do. And I highly suggest it.
All right. Thank you once again for joining us today. I will be back later tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern for the Legacy Watch Roundtable. You can find the survey for it up on Twitter. I will post it after this podcast ends. Again, @ArmstrongTaryn, if you want to fill out the Legacy Watch. How has the game so far impacted the legacy of the players? Very interesting to know. Very curious to talk about it. We'll also talk about like who's doing better than their first season, who's doing worse than their first season, stuff like that, as well as recapping everything that's been going on this week in general. So check that out. And then, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, I'll be back to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Thanks again. I'll see you next time.